SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. I hope you had a productive weekend. Certainly had enough compelling opportunities. That part of it really cooperated. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, if you were latched on to the late evening, early morning action in Australia, had that, of course, and then into the big card Saturday at Oaklawn, and then Gulfstream with the Rainbow yesterday. Really fun sequence to handicap, little bit of a ticket building exercise, really. And we'll talk about that. I'll probably mostly with Johnny in hour two, but the opening salvos here have to be about Oaklawn and a tremendous Saturday for them. They had record handle number, but the handle is secondary, honestly, to what we were treated to. You know, we can speculate on races and look at PPs and all that and hope that, you know, you're going to be treated to something special. Well, you were treated to something special. Not just the Apple Blossom either. I don't want to take away at all from, you know, what is a double-barreled, you know, headline out of Saturday at Oaklawn, because both stakes, I mean, Whitmore, we'll talk to Michael McCarthy and Ron Moquette, and you know, Whitmore winning a third Count Fleet in 4 years. That's a pretty incredible accomplishment. A horse that has just maintained form and nearly every time that he's led over fires a competitive shot. The big story, though, is the Grade One, the Apple Blossom, 14 horse field. And from a handicapping and betting standpoint, you couldn't have had, you know, more nuance. And it starts with the winner in a lot of ways. It starts with CC, who from the 14 hole, you had to feel was compromised. And I mean, if you had a way to neutralize, if you had a way to neutralize the post positions, and if indeed all 14 berths were completely fair, and somehow there wasn't banking on the turns, and there wasn't ground loss to deal with. If you just did it from that standpoint, CC was the horse to beat, and you know, you wouldn't have discounted her chances. However, from the 14 hole, and with a style that just seemed like it might compromise her and you know, find her, you know, wide into the first turn, and it just seemed like it was an assignment that was going to be very tricky. I mean, and for those that read what I wrote up, I said that maybe Espinoza, chooses not to lose ground, and we'll see what Michael McCarthy says. But, maybe they sort of tuck in and gain position later on the backstretch and take that approach. And that she could be good enough to change up her style somewhat and then maybe attack a little bit later. And that is kind of what transpired. And meanwhile, and she obviously, Cece, is, really at the top of the distaff class right now with back-to-back grade ones. And it's a nice story, too, because Bo Hirsch, in fact, really the 1-2 finishers in here. And I don't want to, completely, go off on Cece and how wonderful, from all of that. Ollie's Candy's performance was so exceptional that it's just, I think I called it mind blowing. And John Sadler, between Ollie's Candy getting to the lead from the inside, asked immediately by Rosario, establishing position, being chased and being, engaged repeatedly, and to some degree, what was going on to her outside, was easy to envision too. Cookie Dough, who was alongside Serengeti Empress in the gate, you figured that Cookie Dough was going to extend Serengeti Empress into the turn, and that's exactly what happened. And splits of 22-1, 45-2, 110-1. Every horse that was on the pace, and even some that were close to the pace. Cookie Dough had the lead at first call, and then Ollie's Candy had the lead at every point at that point except the wire. And Serengeti Empress, third, second, looked like she might be in position to stay on, and then started to back up, come dancing off the layoff, and going a two-turn mile and a 16th for the first time. She was chasing. Coldwater was chasing the longest shot on the board. I mean, all these horses are pressing, chasing, prompting. And Ollie's Candy stays on, and did not easily relinquish the lead late. Just an unbelievable effort in defeat. The horses that were pressing and chasing, unbelievable. Serengeti Empress ends up 11th, Come Dancing 12th, Cookie Dough last 14th. So horses that were first, third, and fourth, and second, third, and fourth at the first two calls, after a quarter mile and a half, ended up 11th, 12th, and 14th, and Ollie's Candy kept going. I mean, that is as spectacular an effort in defeat as you're going to see. Just unbelievable. The other Sadler, and I'll stay with Sadler for a minute. Flagstaff, in running second to Whitmore, did not start great. and found himself in an awkward position, you know, in deference to what he usually likes to do. And his rally, I mean, he wasn't beating Whitmore, obviously, but he came running and got beat, ultimately a diminishing three quarters of a length, but Talamo had pretty much wrapped up on Whitmore. But the storyline is, to some degree, the performances of the John Sadler horses. John, I wrote this yesterday morning, actually. John Sadler, you know, so often when it comes to shipping out of town, you know, comes with the asterisk, oh, you know, doesn't ship, can't win outside of California, except when he does. Curlin Rules won the nightcap. And in fact, Nick Tamro, I think, gave everybody the push on Curlin Rules. But Curlin Rules had been at Oaklawn. Flagstaff and Ollie's Candy, they came in from Santa Anita. They did ship in. So I know some people said, well, he's got the string there. He's got a string, but he shipped in the two that ran second in the two graded stakes. So pretty outstanding, and then wins the nightcap. So a win in 2 seconds for John Sadler. We should probably actually reach out to John. It was a really fun day of racing. How about, you know, Point of Honor third, closing, you know, steadily, you know, despite that pace. You know, one of the things, again, we talked about was that Oaklawn, you know, for the deepest closers, yes, creator, I put up that picture of Steve Asmussen from 4 years ago. Yes, Asmussen and creator one from downtown. But generally, not the easiest track to make up ground. Point of Honor and Street Band, they came running. So did Saracosa at 102-1. Ends up fifth, gets the last check. Horologist was mid-pack, and it seemed like she was in striking distance and kind of just, you know, made a little bit of a foray and then just kind of backed off a little bit. I had Horologist on the bottom of plays. Go Goo Yourself, same kind of trip, sort of that middle pack trip. Never got as close, actually, as third at the top of the stretch. But this belonged to the top pair, CeCe and Ollie's Candy, and a nice placement for the Eggerts, Paul and Karen Eggert. You know, they only breed a handful of horses. I think they've only got two or three broodmares a year, and they sell some. And Ollie's Candy actually was a horse that nobody wanted. Another one of those stories. A horse that, just came home. A horse that nobody wanted at the sale. Could have been yours for reason. I want to say 50,000 was the reserve when Ollie's Candy went through the ring as a yearling. So just a really fun day. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did anyway. And I should also include, of course, in the conversation, the win by break even. And she wires, and Rosario wasn't, you know, taking any chances about getting her to the lead. She has to have it to be successful. I don't know. I don't know if she's the same, if she's, you know, kind of moved forward yet. It just doesn't seem like she's, this was a nice win, and it got a decent fig, but it just doesn't seem like she's better at four. Let's put it that way. It seems like she is pretty much the same horse that she was as a three-year-old. And, of course, it's still, you know, somewhat early in the year. But one thing that, Brad Cox is going to certainly insist on going forward, I think, from whoever, whether when Sean Bridgmahan gets back on her at Churchill when they get started. And Brad did say she's going to head back into a into stakes company next time. This was a, you know, good way to right the ship. And she, you know, she faced off against a solid group. But we'll see. But still nice to win and happy always for the Kleins. And Country Day now 7 for 9. Only off the board finish, really, and off performance was that return race in the Spring Fever. So she rights the ship quite nicely. I needed, you know, it was a funny weekend. Let's talk about some betting for a minute before we go to the break. It was such a funny weekend. I was very happy with the way I capped, and I wasn't even unhappy with the way I bet. But didn't really come away with anything significant. And there was opportunities. There were places, you know, to make money. We should mention also the start of that pick five at Oak Lawn, where Desmond, who really had to be ridden like a bicycle to get up and win at 3-2. How about the performance of Everfast in there? Yeah, Everfast was terrific, and we'll keep an eye on him and put the blinkers on to Jack Sisterson. Looking for new things. We'll see. You know, this was a two-turn mile. We'll see how Sisterson proceeds with Everfast. But Desmond, a winner for Baffert. And who was on board? Was Rosario? No, Martin Garcia. How about that? So those of you that are tracking Baffert and the Martin Garcia relationship, together again. the rest of it, I don't know. It just was such a weird day. There were weekend. Virtually every horse I tried to key off of at decent prices, I'd Headland in that race with Break Even. I tried to key off of Headland, only needed her to finish second. She gets beat half length. Couldn't get past Mount Brave. It just kind of was like that every which way. We'll talk. I'll save the other thing. DeGrom. There's another one. I needed DeGrom. I thought DeGrom was absolutely the horse to beat in that nightcap, and ended up using DeGrom as a lone A, and he was just too far back. Corey Lannery had him, you know, really languishing, and then comes running, gets beat, you know, a couple of lengths. Curlin Rules and Arrival. I tell you, Arrival, Ingrid Mason. Oh boy, I never bet. There's somebody I never bet right. But it just came up short repeatedly. Should mention too, when we talked to Moquette, he also won the Rainbow. Not the Rainbow Six. He won the Rainbow on Friday, the Arkansas bred Man in the Can, who was bet down to second choice. The Can, the Man, J. Rita Young, Thoroughbreds, homebred. And then there was also Will B. Van Meter and Sakani, who went off as the second choice. Sakani under under Cannon and stalked and pounced and won nicely. The double Irish filly, also homebred by John Ed Anthony. Some home cooking in Hot Springs. And, of course, John Ed operating under short leaf stables these days since his return to the game. So that was the stakes action and the whole weekend. They did over $19 million at Oaklawn on Saturday. A record handle. So two more weekends in Hot Springs. And for those that, did we bring this up last week about whether what they were doing? They're not gonna continue with a, you know, beyond a closing weekend. And of course, I should mention I sent a picture to John Nichols. Congratulations to John, by the way, who qualified for his 11th straight NHC over the, was that yesterday? I think yesterday. Great job by John, who's as good a handicapper, observer of horse flesh, better and contest player as there is. But normally this first guest, maybe, you know what, maybe we should call him anyway, because I do have about 10, 12 minutes before Moquette and McCarthy, and then Johnny D and more. Maybe we should call Darren. Casey, try to reach Darren. And we'll have the not the invocation, because typically at 9:20 on the Monday, 2 weeks out from Derby fortnight, we have the Darren Rogers invocation. I think we need it anyway. Let's take a break. Lots to do. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college...
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Melodies, hell whip, truth to just to all of your lies. Don't you tell me no truth, I won't hide your lies. Oh, well, so give me all of your lies. 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 Do the rumble and sweep. Do the rumble and sweep. Do the rumble and sweep.
We're back at the races. Letting this go a little. I love this. We haven't heard this in forever. We can't seem to find Big D. All right. Well, that's too bad. I should put up that picture. I'm sure there'll be a lot of this over the next 13 days leading up to what would have been Oaks and Derby weekend. What would you have been doing, you know, today, tonight, tomorrow? There would have been, there would have been thunder, right? Would have been thunder over Louisville Saturday night, right? Yeah. So no chuck wagon, no parade, no boat race. Hey, listen, it's okay. It's going to be fine. We're going to make do and make out. And of course, the build up to Arkansas Derby Day is going to be okay. That'll have to suffice. And there are, the next couple of days, we'll probably get some updates. And of course, one thing I can mention, if you didn't see the release, from Stronach Group, they had a teleconference with the L.A. County health officials, and they said that they were encouraged. They made their case for getting started, restarted at Santa Anita, explaining, the safety elements, and I suppose bringing up that the Arboretum is open across the street. The other venues, everybody is in. There's supposed to be a decision, I guess, in the next couple of days. The speculation and hope in New York is that, by sometime, after this latest Governor Cuomo parameter, once we get past that mid-May, that Belmont will get started. I know there's people that are declaring that they know from inside sources. There's nothing to know about Saratoga other than that the people that work for NYRA continue to make the arrangements as if Saratoga is going to be conducted. And if conditions change, then there'll be, appropriate change to go with it. But it, as of right now, there is no internal, memorandum that there's not going to be a Saratoga. It's just crazy. And granted, we've got a vehicle in terms of communication these days with this, Twitter, where, wild dogs run free. Just say, things that, may have a kernel of truth and a bushel of, speculation alleged knowledge. It's not productive. Really isn't. So, but the other venues that, Churchill, same thing. I mean, they're in constant contact with the governor's office. And when Frankfurt, provides an indication that it might be okay to get started without, without patrons, they'll get going. I mean, everybody is in the same, for the most part, is in the same arena. And we'll wait and see about, you know, Indiana and Prairie Meadows and the places that are, you know, close to getting ready to kick off seasons. Lone Star not far off either. One place we got to mention, and we'll certainly get plenty of mention in over the next couple of days, Fonner Park has got a couple of things happening. There's another force out tomorrow of their pick five, and we'll talk in a second about although, as I said, I'm going to save it a little bit for Johnny. But they're going to do another force out. We'll talk about the Gulfstream sequence in a second. But they also have reached out to the appropriate parties in Nebraska about extending the meet through May. So Fonner, to their credit, looks to continue beyond the original end date of the meet. So Fonner may continue through May, it looks like. And speaking of Fonner today, let me mention there is a little $30,000 stake. Nebraska Breds, fourth race today, 6:21 Eastern, group of eight. And the Fonner Park Special is the stake today. And, I see a son of Skipshot. I was a Skipshot fan. Mr. Big Shot, 7-2 from Dave Anderson. Interesting. I'll look at this. Yeah, maybe we'll look at this later. I think Nick, I talked to Nick last night, Nick Tamaro, and Nick will probably join us tomorrow. We'll go through the Fonner sequence, the pick five tomorrow, and they're up over $250,000. They'll probably add another, 75, 80,000 today or more. And the sequence tomorrow starts in race five, 6:48 Eastern time. And you have fields of 10, 6.5 furlongs, 3 and up, non-winners of 3 by a certain date. Field of 10 there, 3 and ups. Then you got fillies and mares for a nickel going 6. Field of 9, you've got another 6 furlong, 3,500, non-winners of 1 since a date. You got a pair of the Issei Gonzalez horses that are favored, 5-2 and 7-2. And then you got a, as a feature, nice feature, fillies and mares going 6, optional claimer, non-winners of 4 lifetime. Pretty solid group with some high 50s and low 60 buyers. Field of 10, and then it closes out with a 5,000 non-winners of 2 going a mile. So nice sequence, 10 by 9 by 9 by 10 by 10. Oof. All right, so that's the pick five tomorrow, and it's probably going to be well over 300,000. So figure, who knows, 1.4, I don't know, 1.5 million, give or take. And at Will Rogers today, while we got a second as well, Will Rogers today, they've got the Cinema Stakes, a $55,000 three-year-old filly mile event, field of 7, and Donnie Von Hemel has got the Bob Zollner homebred, She's All Wolf, who has been facing open company. Been getting beat up a little bit against the open company, and a return, I think a return to friends and family might help her. She's a Magna graduate. Is this the best part of these? I got to tell you, the best part, I've said this, of these races at Will Rogers and Fonner have been the regional bred horses and some of the, you know, some of the stallions, you know, Skipshot and Magna graduate. I mean, how great is that? And actually, this horse is out of She's All In. this is a nice, she was a stake horse. She's all in. The Include mare. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm almost positive. She's all in. And, I'm almost positive. And then tomorrow there's the boys version, or at least a boys mile stake. This is for 3-year old. Yeah. It's this corresponding. I'm not three and ups. It's Colts and Geldings, and, they're going a mile. It's the Will Rogers tomorrow, just a 5-horse field though there. And, Scott Young with the favorite. Southgate. Yeah, there you go. So it is Monday, Tuesday, Will Rogers and Fonner. And then Wednesday, Tampa comes back into focus as well. So there's the early part of the week. We'll stay here. I've got a couple more minutes. And then we got to figure out. McCarthy and Moquette both came back and said, can you take me at 45? So we'll see about we'll see who is easier to adjust. Mentioned the pick six yesterday at Gulfstream, pays $20,000. And this was it's funny because this was a sequence, and Gus and I both put up opinions. And to me, it seemed like this was very much a formful looking sequence. Sometimes you look, and I'll discuss this with Johnny. And maybe with Andy tomorrow. This is a good topic. When you look at big multi-race sequences, pick fours, pick fives, pick sixes, pick threes and doubles are a little different. But pick four, pick five, pick six, where you're gonna spend 24, 36, 48, 72, 100, and, 144. Yeah, that's my budget range. I will not spend, pick sixes once in a while. We get up toward, 288, 324, those kind, but not all that much. I much rather bet a little to win a lot. That's my own personal approach. But When you first handicap these sequences, you get a gut feel. You go through, and as you notate, the horses that you think are win candidates, because that's all you're looking for, right? The first pass is who can win this race and who can't. And you take out, you cross off and X out as many as you can that just – something strange would have to happen. And I'll also caution that if you're playing pick four, pick five, pick sixes, you can find races and comprehend races where there's potential for an extreme event, a very slow pace or a very fast pace. However, You don't, at least I don't. We'll see what Johnny says. Johnny, I hope you're taking notes. You don't go through these sequences the same way you do, looking for a big price horse, to key off of on an afternoon. If you find a horse in these sequences that's a big price, you want to include them. Depending on their degree of likelihood, A, B, C. But it's not the same mentality that you have when you're, looking at a race and trying to find a price key. You're going through and you're saying the conditions look straightforward here, and if the race is run within 80% of the parameters as you see them, well, then these are the logical results. And those are the horses you're identifying. And at least when I went through this, and I did not look at this sequence until yesterday morning. I had printed it and you know, had just mentioned the quantities of horses that were, you know, lining up in anticipation. But then when I looked at it, I just kind of gave it the real, you know, efficient ba-da-bump, ba-da-bump, ba-da-bump. And, you know, if I look up at the numbers, you know, that that I wrote on the pages, you know, in that first leg, I had, you know, Barica, I had the three, and then circled the three and 5-7. And I said, you know, the three is a very likely winner here with a little 5-7. Sure enough, you know, Barica, and in fact, Tina and I played a ticket together, and we ended up singling Barica. And you know, Luis Saez gave you a couple of seconds of agita because he was, you know. But, you know, then the same thing happened with the second leg, the two, the four, and the six. You know, Tis Possible Dear, Brooks All Mine, and Grace's Drama, and ended up really kind of focusing on the two and the four, Tis Possible Dear and Brooks All Mine. I thought maybe Denver was a price that might be a little interesting, but, you know, kind of stunk it up. Then when it came to the third leg, I had 5-11 as A's and the 1-9 as B's. And sure enough, Chris Landeros gets up with Street Ready, one of the, you know, the really at that point team, you know, we're 3-for-3, and I'm thinking, 15-40, a nice price. One mistake I made was with the fourth leg with Yes I See, where I didn't think there was going to be enough of a pace, and there, the pace was straightforward. It was ordinary, and Yes I See was best, simply best, and I kind of blew it here. I will admit it freely. I made Yes I See my third choice behind Trapezoid and Il Farone. Il Farone was god awful. Did not lift a hoof. Yes, I See, who ends up going off as second choice behind Trapezoid. And Trapezoid didn't necessarily, you know, get in position as early as he might have if you were leaning heavily on him. And then there was No Way Jose, and I don't know what went on there, but that was a little odd. I mean, I'm not going to attack Jay Stone's morning line, but this horse was down to close to post time was down to 5-2. If Andy Serling was here, he would have said they knew. 6-1, No Way Jose was the other price, one of the other prices in the sequence. And then in the nightcap, I really thought Makasupa was super live in here and ran fine, but Follow the Flag. And boy, you want to talk about a horse that's cut out to be a good horse. Holy cow. This one, the Tappet out of Mushka, Bill Mott, you remember, of course, grade one, maybe a multiple grade one winner, Mushka. And, you know, didn't really run much in her first start in February, and Michael Matz gives her the makeover, adds Lasix, puts on the blinkers, and I used her as the fifth horse, and Follow the Flag 8-1 essentially, and you know, this was tricky. This was a tricky sequence, and 20,000, a nice payoff for those that negotiated it. We'll talk more about it with Johnny. We also got to give you some of those Australia results. Unbelievable, thrilling race in that all-age stake. Holy cow. I put it up on early Saturday morning. I woke up. I wasn't staying up till 2 a.m. to watch it live. But, wow, if you didn't see that race, Tophane getting up with Opie. How do Americans not become a fan of jockey Opie Bossen? Come on. I mean, come on. Opie Taylor. This is Opie Bossen, and he gets up with Tophane, and he ruins the goodbye final race of Pirata, who actually was retired last year, then came back, and another season was trying to repeat in the all-aged, and couldn't do it. It was you got to see this. I'll retweet it again for those that missed it. Let's take a break here. We've got either McCarthy or Marquette, but the two of them are going to join us back to back. We'll talk to them about their terrific performances of their charges on Saturday at Oak Lawn. Ron McQuett, third win for Whitmore in the count fleet, and Michael McCarthy, CC, repeat grade one winner for Bo Hirsch. When we come back, one or the other. McQuett, McCarthy, and then Johnny D. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit DRF.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just awaking. So get that needle in the core. Scratch that.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes to the top of the hour on this Monday, and talk about making some history. Well, how about back-to-back grade one wins for the elusive quality Bo Hirsch Homebred CC, and off the Beholder Mile win in mid-March comes a Apple Blossom win, stretches out an extra 16th, and Michael McCarthy was there at Hot Springs and got to got to take it all in, and he joins us now. Michael, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You know, this was really one of those things that was just organic. I mean, the apple blossom is always a early season highlight, first grade one for the distaff set. But the conditions and the circumstances, of course, bring together an elite field. And we might be hard-pressed between now and the Breeders' Cup distaff, you know, to have a field like this come together again this year. And then you draw the 14-hole.
Unfortunate circumstances. Obviously, we know on big days, big fields, these kind of things are going to happen. Look, they run 20 and horses win from the auxiliary gate in the Kentucky Derby.
Sure.
So, really like her, has some tactical speed. Fortunately for us, all the horses I thought we had to beat were drawn directly inside of us. On paper, it looked like Serengeti Empress would be the controlling speed. In the first quarter of a mile, the complexion of the race totally changed. Unfortunately, it looked like Joe's hands were tied as they came into the first turn. Cookie Dough was kind of keeping him parked out in the middle of the racetrack. For Joe to get the lead, he'd have had to have gone 21 flat. Obviously, don't know how much he would have had left for the final quarter of a mile, but the way things worked out, maybe a little bit of gamesmanship into the first turn, I'm not sure, but we were able to go ahead and find the position we wanted, which is to sit probably three lengths off of him and try not to get stuck too far out into the middle of the racetrack.
How much of that, elaborate on your conversation with Victor, who we should note, by the way, hadn't been on a horse in an afternoon in how long?
I think we've been out of action here for, this is start of week number five. So I don't know what Victor does in his spare time, if he rides anything else. I'm not sure. So as far as
the
five weeks,
he rides the Equisizer. What are you kidding? He's on the Equisizer. What else is he going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, these guys are amazing athletes, and, you know, Victor's a world-class rider. His resume obviously shows that. So he was lucky enough to time it perfectly, maybe made it a little bit too close for comfort on Saturday, but everybody's getting their picture taken and everyone's getting paid.
Well, and part of that, and we should talk about the way the race, you know, then unfolded, because the way you just described the early running, I kind of saw the same thing. And to some degree, it certainly helped that Cookie Dough ended up lining up in the draw right next to Serengeti, because if she's elsewhere, it may not, you know, the things may not unfold, you know, after the gates open, you know, the way they did. But the fact that those two kind of stretch things out, it then opens a slot up, and Victor, you know, absolutely just perfect setting up shop. That was really quite something. The other part of this that I know you're going to want to talk about, the effort of Ollie's Candy, Michael. I mean, for her to run that race when every other pace attendee ended up, you know, in the bottom four, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was wild. Joelle kind of took the bull by the horns there. I just happened to read after the fact that, you know, John Sather had mentioned to him if not to take anything away from him, it came easily. Joelle thought maybe the best thing to do would go ahead and draw him from down on the fence there to go ahead and kind of establish his position early. I think almost like the way it worked out, he got some help from Cookie Dough as well by keeping Serengeti Empress out in the middle of the racetrack. So the filly caught a flyer, was in a great spot up the backside, and was able to relax nicely, you know, for Joelle. She ran very, very game in defeat. As I said, after the race was over, I don't think anyone deserved to get beat there.
Amazing. And the two of them are clear by, you know, two plus lengths of late closing Point of Honor and Street Band, who were fighting for minor awards. This race, I mean, really lived up to the hype and the anticipation. And frankly, Michael, I mean, we're all hungry for entertainment and, you know, wagering opportunities. This was just what the doctor ordered. Talk about Mr. Hirsch and what this filly at this point in her 4-year-old season, what it feels like to be seemingly at the top of the class. Midnight Bizu, obviously, waiting in the clubhouse, but the distaff set is coming together pretty nicely.
It is. It is. Bo Hirsch is a longtime supporter of California Racing. Obviously, his father was a mainstay here for decades. Has a Grade One named after him at Del Mar called the Clement Hirsch, which is a mile and a 16th on the dirt. Bo and his father had procured this family, Gill's Magic, Bright Magic, I can't remember. They Miss Houdini, they go on. Magical Flash, right. Magical Maiden, they go on. Generations. This is, I think, is the fourth generation of this family that they've owned. So to get Papa Clem is obviously a big bonus, and then to come back, 8 years later or whatever it is, 9 years later, and come up with Cece is huge for him, and obviously a cornerstone of his breeding operation when she retires to the breeding shed.
Well. This season now from this point, and give us a little bit of a feel for the post Beholder Mile and what goes on with her in terms of, her just sort of the maturation process, and also knowing, that you're getting back out to a mile and a 16th in this spot.
Yeah. She came out of Beholder in great shape. It was kind of the way things had evolved around here and the closure and Oakland being open. The Apple Blossom kind of really piqued our interest. Obviously, everyone here in California is holding out that racing gets back soon. Don't know when that's going to happen. But there was nothing on the calendar for her here anyways. Our final week before we headed to Oakland was a little bit challenging. We had some serious rains here, at least by California standards. So we had 2 days of racetrack closure. No one was allowed on either racetrack for 2 days. And then when the racetracks did open up, it was joggers only for 3 days. So she basically had 5 days of little to no training. The week before the Apple Blossom, the second week leading up to the Apple Blossom, we were able to sneak into work here on Sunday before. Can't thank Dennis Moore and everybody at Santa Anita. That track was in great shape after a bunch of rain, and we were able to slide on in. She worked a wonderful 5/8 and galloped out a super 7/8 of a mile. I didn't think there was any reason for us not to go. But once we cleared all those obstacles, all we had to do was enter up and run. And then when you enter and they hit you with the 14, it's a little bit tough. But as a guy sent me a text the other day, good post, bad trips, bad post, good trips. So,
well, it works out beautifully. Now, I know you put her on the van yesterday, right?
She's on a van. She'll be back sometime late tonight from Arkansas.
Okay. Very nice. And I saw where you had said she, you would let Jen Hoyt know at Oaklawn that she had come out of it very well Sunday morning.
Yeah, she's in great shape.
How do you, how do you plan for anything at this point off the 2 grade ones I don't know. Are you already thinking about Del Mar?
I've got, given my circumstances here and my owner, as I said, having a grade one named after his father down here, my hands are tied. I don't think he's going to take it nicely if I tell him we're going to send her to Saratoga for the summer. So we'll point for the Clement Hirsch at Del Mar.
Perfect.
I don't know how we get there. I don't know if that means we have to go travel somewhere else. Someone else has something on the docket that's enticing to us. I don't know. It's strange times we're living in. The world is a little bit off its axis, so we had a bit of a gut puller the other day, so we're going to go ahead and bring her back here and give her an easy week or two and then kind of come up with a game plan. But we'll kind of let her dictate where she would like to go.
Fair enough. And meanwhile, Michael, let's address the other topic, which is the rest of the string. I mentioned in the opening moments of the show today that Friday, Aiden Butler and Stronach Group had the meeting via video with the LA County Health Department. I mean, what's the feeling there with everybody? And you know, what has been, you know, you just got back probably for this morning, but, you know, what is the Clocker's Corner feel? And any indication they sounded fairly upbeat about the prospects of resuming racing?
I have not spoke to anybody about it, judging by what I've read. Sounds like management thought that this meeting went as good as it could possibly go. There are some things going on that are a lot bigger than horse racing with this coronavirus. But I thought when we did have racing here before we were shut down, I thought Santa Anita did a wonderful job of only having the particulars and those that needed to be near the horse around. There was nobody in the grandstand, no one in the receiving barn, no one in the paddock. It was very sanitary the way it was done. And I think if they came out and saw how we operated, just like Oaklawn is operating, just like Gulfstream is operating, I think that the county would see that, you know, I think racing is okay to go ahead and proceed with. The ecosystem back here is very delicate, as you know. It's a trying time for owners. It's a trying time for trainers. Trainers need to go ahead and keep their staff employed. We cannot furlough anybody. We can't send anybody away. Horses need to be maintained. Owners obviously have a responsibility of, you know, being stewards of these wonderful creatures. So it's a little bit of a testy situation for everybody. We're trying to make the best of it. Santa Anita's keeping the lines of communication open with everybody. I'm not the only guy in this position. There's guys in the Midwest that are dealing with the same thing. New York, obviously, the crisis in New York seems a little bit more severe than it does here, but it's severe everywhere. So let's hope we all get open, we have a great summer, and go from there.
I love it. Well stated. Michael McCarthy with us off of CC's win Saturday in the Apple Blossom. And for those that haven't, you know, kind of looked back at what else has been going on, at least in his barn. And Michael, you may not even realize this if we go back and add them all up. You're six for your last 13.
I like it.
The scheme started.
I think I was 0-for-23 between July and August, so I'm not too. I've got a lot to make up for.
Well, this streak goes back to March 7th, and on March 7th at Santa Anita, you won with Woke Up to Aces, which was a horse we talked about. I think either, I don't know if it was, couldn't have been. Yeah, maybe it was. I think we talked about the maiden win after the Beholder Mile, and
you did.
This is it to some degree for you personally and your shed. There's a bunch of horses that are coming off wins that you're giving them a little bit of a, you know, kind of a freshening that's kind of forced on them. And this may pay off, down the road. You've also got some horses that, you know, seem poised to win next out, like Friars Road. But talk about Woke Up to Aces, because I think some people are adding him to the, you know, to the docket for the 3-year-old filly scene.
Racing was canceled on, I can't remember what Saturday it was, but I had two horses in on that Saturday. I had the filly we've spoke of, Woke Up to Aces, and a 5.5 furlong allowance race on the turf that I was really excited about running. And I had another maiden named Uncle Aduma, who's trained like he's could be a nice horse in his own right. So to have them cancel on a day like that when I thought I had two very live horses was a little bit tough to take. Just glad we got the Beholder in, you know, before that. But, yeah, we've got a handful of horses here that have been ready to run. Friars Road worked a very good 5/8 here the other day. He is on schedule for a May 2nd maiden special weight going a mile and an eighth at Oaklawn Park, we hope to get into. Woke up to Aces. We'll have to wait for the grass with her, so she'll stay here at Santa Anita, and we'll keep her wrapped up until we find the appropriate race for her. And a handful of others I'm probably going to take to Oaklawn Park as well for closing weekend.
How about that? Well, just going through this, you had the two allowance wins before Santa Anita closed. Lofty, as you said, the Canyon Crest. You had a Friars Road second last out. Speech had been second in the Santa Isabel, and so on and so forth. I mean, this is just, you seem like you were, you know, really poised, to jump forward, you know, out of the, you know, the late winter action.
Yeah, we have had a very good spring. Last summer we had over a dozen horses get little small nagging injuries that needed some time. So when we went through our prior closure here early in the spring, I went ahead and just decided it was best to go ahead and turn some horses out and let all this stuff kind of quiet down out here. In turn, they end up coming back to us after Del Mar, September, October, November time. And I think, you know, in the 90 days since they've all come back, they've all started kind of going the right way. And we've had some horses just kind of find the right spots in particular as well. And short fields out here certainly don't hurt either, you know. Guys were quick to jump on the bandwagon to get horses to Oaklawn Park and places like that. And field size here has taken a little bit of a hit because of it. But I'm not going to complain.
How about the two-year-olds, Michael? Where do you stand with those? Did any come in, or are they, you know, they being held on the farms?
We've got a handful of two-year-olds here that literally are just working a quarter of a mile now, so no rush with them. Horses that were supposed to come in are still on the farms, whether it be in Kentucky or Ocala or here in California. You know, that's another situation altogether with our sales and things like that. But
Right. Yeah,
just kind of holding off on the two-year-olds and waiting for a kind of a clearer picture here before we start sending them in.
Very nice. Michael McCarthy, MWM Racing, for everybody on Twitter. Michael, what a terrific, terrific performance and thrilling race as CC backs up the Beholder and adds another grade one. Michael, stay safe and healthy, you and the staff and the family, and we'll roll with the punches.
Definitely. You guys, too. Thanks for having me, and everybody stay safe.
Michael McCarthy, always a treat. We'll take a break right here. Ron Moquette is going to join us next, and we're just going to turn the mic on and just let Moquette tell you how much this horse means to him, his absolute favorite. Moquette will certainly have more stake winners in his career as a trainer, but I don't know. It's got to be, I'm going to ask him that question. You know, what's it like to be probably mid-career as a horseman and, you know that you just, might not be possible to have a horse show up at the barn that's as good as this one and means as much to you as this one obviously does. Whitmore, Third Count Fleet, Ron Moquette next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural pace used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.